And do you know how to do the ninja rap dance?
No.
Well, I'll tell you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Brothers Movie Factory. I am your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of The Brothers Movie Factory.
Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice calling into the show.
Yo, it's me. Give it up for your heroes in green.
Well, you know, what's the funny thing is I feel like he's probably not doing much. I know, but I don't want to fact because I do know he had like a renovation show a couple years back on HGTV, or maybe it was DIY Network.
Makes sense.
So it's possible. I forget what it was called.
I've seen many a clip.
Yeah, many a clip of Vanilla Ice demolishing houses.
No. I've seen many a clip of modern day Vanilla Ice at concerts singing ninja rap from a movie that the brothers watched and we're going to discuss tonight for the intro to sequel month. But the ninja rap, but he does it differently now. He does it slower. He's like, go ninja, go ninja, go.
And he can't speak that fast anymore.
Yeah. Every time he starts it, the crowd gets into it and they're like, go, go, go. And he'll be like, you guys still remember that shit? And it's like a funny thing. But he says it at every concert. So I've seen a couple clips from different concerts. He's like, you guys remember that shit?
It's your best song, man.
I would say it's his best song. I would say it's one of the best songs ever written. But
Jesus. It's years from now, it'll be categorized as classical.
Mozart, Vanilla Ice, Beethoven.
Yes, indeed. But yes, joining me as always, Goss, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory. Once again, as we mentioned on the previous episode, the Life Update episode, Goss is dealing with some stuff in his home. If you didn't catch on that, be sure to go back and listen to that episode. So with that being said, Goss is again recording via his phone. So, you know, any audio differences between myself, who is currently recording, at a computer versus Gus, who is recording via his phone.
Actually recording a podcast right now.
Oh, really?
Yes, indeed. Cool. You're me and my brother, so I'm calling in.
Oh, God.
I'll catch up with you later. Oh, yeah. Will do. That was my neighbor.
Okay. Well, we can cut there if you want.
In.
Or leave it in. but yes, joining me as always, Goss, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory. And as I mentioned last week, as we mentioned last episode, Goss has some shit going on in his home. So here we are once again recording, Goss recording via his phone, calling in. And so if there's any disparaging differences between, I don't think disparaging is the right word, but who cares? Differences between Gus's audio and my own, that is due to the fact that he is recording on his phone. So deal with it. But with
apologize
that,
apologize for the pardon the mess.
Yeah, pardon the messy audio, maybe. But indeed, this month we're kicking off this month with sequel month. We did this last year around this time. I believe it was July last year. We did this.
No. It was actually of this week, last August.
Yeah. Well, shit. But yes, indeed, we're jumping into sequel month once again. Last year, we did things like Spider-Man 2. What else did we do last year?
We kicked it off with Lost World, Jurassic Park. Yes, we did Spider-Man 2. We did Terminator 2, Judgment Day. And I don't remember. We did one more for sequel month. And, oh, Batman Forever. That was it.
Indeed. And so we figured, what this month is all about is rewatching films, the sequels to films that we have done in the past. So we decided to kick off this month with the coziest of the cozy, and that is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze. Now, also, If you're new to the show, let me tell you what this show is about. Every week we watch a film. We then take that film to the podcast to discuss said film, what we liked about it, what we didn't, what worked, what didn't. That's then we submit that movie to the factory. That's where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same cast, same... Man, I'm really messing this up. You can tell we haven't done it in a while. We take that movie, put it to the factory. That's where we take the film we just watched. And we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Same story, just different cast, modern booking. Just imagining what it would look like if it came out today. Now, the show has evolved in our third year, and we're doing things differently as we move. You know, taking animated movies and imagining them live action. Taking modern movies and imagining them if they came out in the 80s. We're switching up the factory, so it's not always the same bag, as today will be slightly different with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze. So, with no further ado, let us get into it. This being our first/second DVD we ever owned? Question mark?
Yeah, it is. Back in the day, we were late to the game on the DVD, which is kind of funny considering how many Blu-rays I currently own and how many 4Ks I currently own. But yeah, we were late to the game, and we got one of those fancy VHS/DVD players in the early 2000s, and maybe it was mid-2000s. And yeah, our first two pickups were Spaceballs. Baseball and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze. Had a white DVD case, which we thought was really fancy. Did I lose you?
Nah, you like cut out at the end there. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
It had a white what?
It had a white DVD case, which we thought was really fancy.
Hey, how about... I mean, that's funny. I was actually just having a conversation with a buddy of mine the other day. I mentioned how I had just bought Steelers tickets to him, and he was like, dude, do you have money? I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, every time you're like, I talk to you, you tell me you bought another thing. You bought this game, you bought tickets, you bought this new console. I was like, it's not that I have money. It's more that I just buy what I want. I buy what I want. I save smartly. I buy what I want when I want. And that's kind of the same thing for you. As you said, you know, we were late to the DVD game, and you said, oh, well, I have all these Blu-rays. You bought the Blu-rays you wanted, damn it. Because we couldn't have the DVDs we wanted. We were stuck with Spaceballs and Secret of the Ooze.
I think our third one was UHF.
Thank God.
You tell your buddy, he's like, do you even have money? Like, you're always buying this stuff. And that's when you're like, because I've been working, bitch.
Yeah, that's what I should say. That's a line from this movie.
Yeah. You know, for those of you who have maybe didn't tune in last week or did and just kind of want a small update, we got some shit going on my end at the house. Some stressful stuff, some overwhelming stuff. Everything's okay, just home issues, especially with burst pipes and whatnot. Well, everything's getting taken care of, no problems. That's why I am mobile, as Bane would say, and we got a lot of noise in the house, so that's why I'm not recording from my usual setup, just because of fans and dehumidifiers and such. With all that stress going on, I told Ben we were entering sequel month. We were discussing, hey, what are we going to watch this week? And I said, before we even picked a movie, I said I want like a gooey, cheesy pizza kind of movie. A pizza and beer kind of movie. I want to be in my happy place. I want to feel good watching a movie. And we were going through films we have done in the past and what we could do for sequel month. And you mentioned, hey, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm like, that is exactly what I had described. Literally a gooey cheese pizza kind of movie. Because that is, I think, how this movie starts. It's like a 5-minute commercial for pizza.
Kinda. I mean, it does. I think I texted you or I sent you a Snapchat as I was watching. I'm like, this movie is just an advert for like DiGiorno's. It's just like everyone, literally the opening 5 minutes is just everyone holding pizza and like looking at the cheese as if it's like literal God's gift to man, which, hey, sometimes pizza is. But it's like, it's kind of funny. It's like the whole opening 5 minutes is like, hey, isn't pizza orgasmic?
Yeah, you ever pull a piece of pizza away and it get all cummy like that?
Yeah, you're like, ah!
Yeah, and you know, referring, like, keeping it sequel month and referring back to episode one, or not episode one, but Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the episode we did last year, or maybe it was 2 years ago, I can't remember.
Sure you go.
What I liked about this opening, yes, it was showing off pizza and stuff, but the music, it was playing the same theme song from the first movie, which I don't know why I appreciated. Why wouldn't they play the theme song? It's not like your cartoon, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's like boom, 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 da 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 da. And I appreciated that. It made me nostalgic because, one, I haven't seen this particular movie in many, many years. And growing up, I probably watched this one more. But as an adult, I watched the first one more frequently. So yeah, I really liked that little rub.
Yeah, I mean, I ultimately think overall, this film is one of the few sequels to movies that I can think of off the top of my head. You know, don't think too hard on it because there's probably a billion others that are like this, but that this one is just as good as the first one. I think that it's honestly pretty much on par with the first one in terms of just having a good time, enjoyable watch.
Choke yourself.
Hey, it is pretty good. It's good. You said you watched this one more.
Yeah, as a kid.
It's so, just as good. The first one's good. The first one's really good. This one's just as good. It's just fun.
You know, it's interesting. This movie, I'm not gonna say it'll divide people.
It can divide people. It's you know, it Oscar nominated for multiple things.
Including best original song. I wish.
I was gonna say, did it?
it should have, and it should have won. That's a snub.
That is a snub.
Write that down.
Vanilla Ice deserves an Oscar for lifetime achievement.
For his contributions to the Ninja Turtle franchise.
Yeah.
You know, okay, this is what I'll say. I haven't seen this movie in a while. I watched it the other night, and it's just what I needed. Like I said, have a lot of shit going on. Who doesn't? And if you do, watch this movie. It'll make you feel good.
It'll make you feel thinner.
It's organic. This movie is fun, as you just said. It's entertaining, especially if you grew up with it. I'm curious if you got like some 15-year-old kid nowadays, if you pop this in front of them, if they would enjoy it. They would like it, if they'd love it. I would say I love this movie.
Depend on what kid you're putting it in front of. You know, you get a kid that's more like open. Yeah, you get a kid that's just not willing to look at it and be like, the CGI in this thing is terrible. They're not going to like it. But if you put it in front of someone who just appreciates the 90s, as, you know, we growing up appreciated the 70s and 80s.
So you take the kid who said CGI in this is terrible. You take their hand and you slap it and you say, there is no CGI in this movie.
That's when you take their hand, like the guy who grabs Princess Jasmine in Aladdin. And you tell him, do you know what the penalty is for saying that CGI in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Secret of the Ooze is bad? And then you slice their arm off. That's two movies I just referenced. That's how mad I am.
Is that a Family Guy joke?
Yeah. He, like, I forget, it's some Italian guy, and he says something like he's going to mash him up into a cannoli and then spread them out like tiramisu. And he's like, that's two types of food. That's how angry I am.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't, I'm getting that. It's just, this movie makes me feel nice.
Makes you feel like a kid again. Cozy up. It's funny, though, because you're like, makes me feel like a kid who can drink beer and order his own pizza.
And that's what's nice as an adult, to be able to get put into that position where you can feel like a kid again. And maybe that's what nostalgia is all about, right?
I think that's the point, yeah.
To be able to play with your toys and drink beer and order pizza.
Yeah, like, I want to build with Legos today.
And watch TMNT. I was going to say TMNT. That came later.
Won't play with Legos and drink some Maker's Mark at the same time. Be like, whoa.
You should not drink and build.
Thanks, Will Ferrell. Sucking all the fun out of Legos.
Yeah. But the first movie, the original, is also super, super fun. But I personally appreciate how it's a little darker, a little grungier.
It's more serious, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's more serious by far, yeah.
Yeah, and when this movie came out, it was right around the time when the first movie came out, it was right around the time when the cartoon came out, and it became, like, omega popular, right? And so when they made and released the sequel within a year. So that was a big undertaking. But the franchise is so popular that they struck while the iron was hot, but they tweaked it because the cartoon was so popular, yet they wanted to stay within the movie franchise, right? So they made it more kid friendly. To the extent of not using the weapons as frequently. Like, I watched it with the lady. It's her first time watching it. She enjoyed it, too. And Leonardo, he's got two katanas. Did he ever pull those bitches out to hit somebody? No. He used two bonk sticks, as you could appreciate.
Where's my rated R Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? The way God intended.
That is the way God intended.
I know.
Not the original creators.
I know.
It's a very, very dark comic book. So dark, it was all black and white except for their bandanas.
It would almost make the whole premise a little less ridiculous if it was darker.
I mean, hell, I think it was a couple years ago now. I don't know what the result was ultimately, but in the comic book line, I think fucking Bebop and Rocksteady killed Donatello. Crushed him with a sledgehammer.
Donnie.
Yeah, he gone, at least as far as the comics went a couple years ago.
And then they picked up Leonardo and shattered his shell. Cracked it over his back. Asked him what would break first, his spirit or his shell. But, yeah, no, I mean, this movie, it's funny, yeah, the first movie is much more serious, as it could be, I guess, where this one definitely aimed to the corporate greed side of things, aimed to sell more toys, and be a lot more family-friendly, and because of that, some would say it suffers. I do think it falls along with the same idea of, like, its fun side, its jokes. I do still think, even though they don't use their weapons, the action is all really good. And the introduction of, now I'm forgetting his name. I keep wanting to say Kano, but it wasn't Kano.
Close. Kino.
Kino. I thought so. I thought it was close. But even his very first introduction, now he's not like the greatest actor in the world. He's very young. This is probably one of his earlier first movies or something along those lines. But pizza delivery guy, that's how the movie starts. He is immediately unlikable by today's standards. He's got
a great line, though.
Yeah, it's a really good burn. However, it's a little serious when you get down to it. You're like, ouch, Jesus. What's he say? He basically
is like, hey, you ladies want to go out with me tonight? They're like, in your dreams. He's like, He's like, okay. And in my dreams, I'd imagine something thinner.
And then he just laughs like, ah! And drives away. It's a good burn, but at the same time, you're like, Jesus, that was rough.
I think that's the noise I made, where if that sentence you just said, if you were to make that a noise, it would be, rush.
Yeah, kind of. You're like, ooh, sheesh. Then he's delivering all these pizzas to April O'Neil's house, the reporter from the first movie, who worked with the Turtles. Not played by Megan Fox, sadly.
Or not played by, I can't pronounce her name, but it's like Judith Hoag or Hoag.
From the first movie.
Yeah, different actress, Paige something or other.
Yeah.
Different actress this time around. But I can tell you why.
Because they weren't going to pay her a lot of money.
Nah, she had a major disagreement with the director, and it kind of became like a heated feud in the first movie. It was actually she was defending the stunt workers because they were overworking the stunt workers, like having them come in extra days, like union stuff, you know, against the rules, but they were coming in and doing it anyway and not getting paid for it. And she was kind of like supporting their rights, and it became a very heated argument between her and the director, to the point where she just didn't want to return for the sequel.
Gotcha. He's delivering pizzas to April O'Neil's house, and it's funny to me because he sees the most obvious robbery in human history, and nobody gives a shit. And you could pass that off as like, oh, well, it's New York, but there's literally like four trucks just loaded up with shit, like TVs and everything. Like, it's just all very obvious.
Guys walking around with pantyhose on their head.
Yeah, but he kicks some ass. I enjoyed his character, because I sent it to you. I was like, is this the Asian Spider-Man? Because he was like quipping the entire time. He was beating the shit out of all these people. And it was pretty good. Yeah, it was pretty good. Then the Turtles have their big entry when a bunch of other criminals show up, and they beat everyone with everything but their weapons. They beat people with toy hammers. Links of sausage, combat cold cuts, and jokes.
I think in the last episode of when we reviewed the 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I said one of the most satisfying sounds to me was when Michelangelo was having the nunchuck off with the other Foot Clan member. He's like, ah, fellow chucker, eh? And he goes to reach for the nunchuck, and it does that like sound.
Yeah.
In this movie, the most satisfying sound to me is when Donatello bumps into that like bobble clown, inflatable clown thing, and he goes, I said that word for word as it happened, and Lady looked at me like, you have problems.
Hey, don't we all? This movie is an interesting concept, and, you know, that's kind of the opening, is a big fight scene. It's choreographed well, it's fun, there's a lot of quips and one-liners, and it's enjoyable, it's very pleasant to watch. It really doesn't feel cheesy to me, as a 90s kid.
Entertaining.
That's kind of the plot of this movie, is that, you know, Shredder fell at the end of the first movie, and this movie takes place, what, weeks later, days later?
I think it's been a couple weeks.
So Shredder fell into a garbage truck, and they just assume that he's dead. But Shredder comes back, more intimidating than ever. The Foot Clan... But they don't show anything. But the Foot Clan's recruiting new members, and they're kind of building their numbers back up again. While there is a secret, laboratory, a laboratory in New York that is doing a cleanup project. April O'Neil's on the case, and basically it comes to light that they had this radioactive ooze that they accidentally buried, or not even accidentally, just disposed of inappropriately, basically, and that ooze was causing things to mutate, such as the turtles. It's what caused the turtles. This is a good old-fashioned turtle origin story, which is actually pretty good. Like, I always thought that was interesting. It was like, well, how did they become Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Well, Master Splinter would tell you, like, this is what happened. I found them. I trained them. I raised them. But at the same time, this gives just that little tinge of, okay, this makes sense. This makes sense.
Indeed. So here's what I'll say, just kind of jumping back real quick. Just like you gave the synopsis of this movie. The only thing that's left, revenge.
Yes.
That's the plot of this movie. And the, I guess, flowering backstory of why the turtles are who they are, and to stop this from happening in the future. That's what Shredder does. He gets in possession of more of this ooze, and he's like, I'll create my own things like these Ninja Turtles that defeated me, and I'll use it against them.
Yes.
So that sounds very comic booky, very cartoony, right? When it came time to make this movie, he was originally going to be in it when they were, because they decided they're going to make this more kid-friendly. It was Casey Jones. Casey Jones is in the first one. He's more on the violent side, hockey mask wearing, sport utility wielding vigilante. They decided he was a little too violent for the image they were going to go for, so Kino kind of replaced his character, in a sense. Kino is actually the dude in the suit of Donatello in the first movie. And
really? That kid?
Yeah. The producers were so impressed that they made this new character to replace Casey Jones for him, that actor in particular. So that's what kind of came off that. And the creators of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I can never remember their names, Laird and such, they were very against bringing Shredder back. Even in the original script, it was written that Garbage Man would find Shredder's, like, twisted, mangled helmet, and they were going to introduce a new villain, potentially the Rat King. But because the cartoon was so popular at this time, they decided to bring Shredder back, because Shredder was the main villain of the cartoons. It felt very cartoon for the villain to die yet return and seek revenge. So that's kind of how this movie more or less shaped into what it was.
I mean, I like the idea of, like, the ooze. It comes to light what caused this mutation, and Shredder thinks, well, if I get my hands on that, I can mutate my own creatures and train them, and they can destroy them. Get me the most vicious creatures you can. It's a snapping turtle and a
wolf.
A wolf, yeah. But babies! You brought me babies! Yeah. No!
Toka and Razar. And I guess Arnold Schwarzenegger is Splinter. Or not Splinter, Shredder.
Yes.
Babies. You know, if I were to do a Shredder impression, it probably would sound like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
A little bit, because it's you can't get that, like, rasp in your voice, so you just go hot. You go Arnold.
Babies.
Because he's like, babies!
That's not bad.
Hey, we'll take it. My throat hurts now. but yeah, it's an interesting idea, and that is it's always a problem to me where you have something that's supposed to be this big threat and it's played off as a laugh, and that's kind of what happens with them, is they're supposed to be this next big threat, and it is played off as a laugh. They are babies. They are constantly in stupid situations, doing stupid things. Again, obviously, to sell toys and to make the movie more lighthearted and fun. But it would have been better to see, like, a legitimate fight between all of them. And maybe even, the thing that the first movie did so well that this one does not do is the first movie has an instance where they lose. They lose and they're down on their luck and all that stuff. This movie doesn't have that. This movie does not have a moment where they lose. It has the moment where Raphael gets caught because of Raphael being Raphael. But it doesn't have that moment where they're, like, completely down on their luck out. Like, they, it never feels like they're facing the same threat that they faced in the first movie.
You know, almost to the point of, like, a plot hole, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Because in the first movie, Shredder, by himself, on his own, defeated all four of the Ninja Turtles. It was only Splinter who made, like, a reaction move, defeated Shredder. So in the sequel, he wants revenge, and so he creates these creatures to bat out. He's like, oh, like I said, these things defeated me, these turtles, I'll make my own, and they'll defeat them. He kind of did it on his own. He needs to try, you know, one more time.
And on top of that, even more so, it's like, this is skipping ahead, but at the end, he himself gets infused with the ooze and becomes Super Shredder. It's like, why didn't he just do that? Why didn't he just become, like, Mega Super Shredder to begin with? They kill all of them.
Yeah, so it's almost like plot hole-esque, I guess.
But we want to sell toys. We need more characters.
Yeah, that's right. And on that note, at this time, the cartoon was super popular. Who were some of Shredder's henchmen but Bebop and Rocksteady? I believe Bebop was a mutated pig. And Rocksteady was mutated Rhino. Or maybe it was the other way around. What have you.
Seamus.
And why not just put them in this movie? Toys. So they made Toka and Razar. And made more toys.
More toys, more toys, more toys. I mean, it's funny too, because, like, I look at that idea in my head, why does selling, like, toys, how, like, in my head, I say this now as an adult, I think, you know, why would a company do that? Like, is toy sales really that significant to a film, like, afterwards? I know Star Wars was humongous and the toy sales of that, but, like, I think in the modern era when we have, you know, video games and all these other things, you know, is the toys still big? But then I think back to when I was a kid and seeing, like, Spider-Man and being like, I want to go get a Spider-Man toy now. Like, I want that. Or it's even up to seeing Iron Man. Like, seeing Iron Man, and I was what, 2008? So I was still, I was, like, 7th, 8th grade.
You're 12 or 13 at the time.
Yeah, but I went and bought a fucking, it was like a little arm wrap that you put batteries in, and it made the Iron Man, like, thing. And it was cool as shit. And I bought that after seeing Iron Man, because I'm like, I want to dick around with this.
Yeah.
So it is a big seller. I mean, I was big into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles growing up. And so even, I don't think I necessarily had any turtle toys that I recall. Off the top of my head.
Yeah, you did. You bought a lot of the, especially of your era, the TMNT show, which eventually aired. You had a bunch of those toys. Me growing up, I had a bunch of, like, the 90s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle toys. I think there's one in particular you'll remember. He had a pizza in front of him, and you could put little pizzas in his back shell, and he would shoot the pizzas. Like little discs.
I do not remember this.
Had a samurai Donatello too.
I think I remember that one. Yeah. I do remember having a Leonardo. Like, the more I think about, because Leonardo was my favorite and always will be. But
yeah, you mentioned the toys nowadays maybe not being as big. It's probably more or less you're just not in the know. You're not the demographic anymore, so therefore, I mean, you're just not
Well, that's I think that too boils down to what I just said too, where like there's so many other mediums to jump to when it's like, oh, I really enjoyed this Marvel movie, or I enjoyed Spider-Man. I'm gonna go play Spider-Man. Like it's a little, it's more not saying that video games are for adults. I mean, some are obviously, but saying that it's more the adult way of playing, I guess. You know, you play with toys as a kid when you have more of like more time with the imagination and all that stuff. Whereas as an adult, it's more like, oh, I'm gonna go play video games on this console that I bought. You know, so
yeah, it does make you wonder, because like when you are a kid, especially between, I'll say, like, I'm just making up numbers, like 3 to 12, like toys are the main source of entertainment. That's what you kind of go for. You go to the store with mom, your daddy, you're going to cry for a toy before you leave. I don't know why I said that like Jack Nicholson.
I'm scared now. I don't want any toys.
Yeah, so it's a curious thought, like, has that changed? Do kids want those things nowadays? Or was that a product of, you know, did it die sometime in the 2000s?
As technology got bigger and bigger and bigger.
We're not on the pulse, so we really don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, speaking of toys and nostalgia, this movie in particular, you know what my most nostalgic thought of this movie is? Is actually a commercial for it on that old recorded cassette tape that Wayne had of all those episodes of Batman the Animated Series.
Wayne being our other brother.
Indeed.
But I was just thinking of that as we were talking about toys real quick, because that tape had like all these crazy 90s commercials for toys that were like, I don't know, they're probably on YouTube now, like 90s toy commercials, but man, like it was a different era for sure.
Oh yeah, they are on YouTube. In fact, I actually, honestly, a week ago looked up a commercial for Mighty Max, and there were tons of commercials for Mighty Max toys on this VHS that I'm about to get into more detail about. But Mighty Max is kind of like the boy equivalent of Polly Pocket. And the commercial's like Mighty Max, Mighty Max. And I
remember this man.
Yeah.
these things are cool as shit. Yeah.
Yep. So this VHS, our older brother of the Brothers Movie Factory, he recorded a marathon of Batman the Animated Series back in 1992. And got a bunch of episodes, and we just grew up on this VHS as we got older. So probably like when I'm like 5, 6, 7, I'm watching this VHS, seeing all these retro commercials, not retro, like 3 years old at this point, but for like products that were
came
not
and
available
went
anymore. Yeah. But one of the commercials in between episodes was for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, playing on TV or something. Or maybe coming out on VHS at this point, because it's 1992. And, I just remember the commercial so well, to the point that, well, I'm rewatching the movie the other night, some of the lines that they say in the movie, I'm like, I remember that in the commercial, like, near the beginning when they're in April's apartment, they open the pizza and they all whiff it in. They're like, I'm like, oh, I remember that. And then when Shredder's like, get them, I remember that from the commercial from this VHS. That's a very fun, I have very fond memories of this VHS tape. And it was kind of,
I mean, when like would he have recorded that?
It was like a 90s time capsule. 92, I believe it was.
92, you recorded that. I mean, when you were watching this, when would you argue you were watching this?
Were you not listening to me? I said I was like 5, 6, 7 years old.
No, I was. So it'd be 96. I was just I'm making a point. 90, you were like, seeing all these retro toys, you know, just a couple years. Mighty Max stops being sold in 96.
Yeah, there you go.
92 to 96. It was not successful.
But it's memorable to me. of the likes of me, mainly because of this time capsule I mentioned. And, you know, the movie itself, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, kind of a 90s time capsule.
Oh, yeah.
The pizza, product placement.
Because you can't find pizza nowadays.
Yeah. And
it's a 90s food.
And Vanilla Ice.
Yeah. It's a 90s guy. Stuck
doesn't
there.
Doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, he's stuck. You want him, you gotta go back to the 90s.
Yeah, I just, even talking about it, I'm like, fuck, I need to go get...
Like, fuck, I need to watch this movie again.
Shit. I mean, I was just jamming to the ninja rap before you called, and I was practicing the moves. Do you know how to do the ninja rap dance?
One sec, you cut out there. Say again.
Oh, shoot. I said, I was listening to the ninja rap just before I got on this call with you. And do you know how to do the ninja rap dance?
No.
Well, I'll tell you, vaguely. Get a little hop in your step, a little bounce, and then you jump to your right foot, and with your left foot, you kind of bounce a little bit on the floor, jump to your left foot, with your right foot, bounce a little on the floor, just kind of go back and forth doing that. Ninja, ninja, rap, ninja, ninja, rap. And when it comes time to go, 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 you put your hands, your fists together, and you hump
your
elbows.
If you want to clap.
Put your fists together and hump your elbows. Go, go, go. And that's roughly the ninja rap.
Can we make the greatest 90s, like, rap soundtrack ever and have, like, ninja rap and... have DK rap on there.
You can't. You know why? Because that came out in the year 2000.
Really? DK rap did. I thought that was 98.
Nah, Banjo-Kazooie came out in 98.
Okay.
Donkey Kong 64, 2000.
Oh, shit.
Secret of the Ooze, 91.
Well, there it is. Hey, how about, you fucking liar, 1999, Donkey Kong 64, my friend, 1999.
Thinking, I'll save myself. I was thinking Banjo-Tooie, the other Rare game that came out in 2000.
Watch me prove you wrong there, too.
Nah, that one's right.
That one did come out in 2000, yes. So you were thinking Banjo-Tooie, which has a 3.9% out of 5 at GameStop.
They're fucking liars. too.
But yeah, no, I mean, we don't really have much of a factory this week for this one, as we did do literally this, basically this. But this movie is what a sequel generally is. Which, to, like, its most pure form, which is the first movie, just a little different. Like, it's got a lot of the same jokes, a lot of the same action, a lot of the same story beats, so to speak, but is all just fun and good. So it'd be hard for us to do a recasting or anything where we've already pretty much done it.
Indeed. And, you know, just one or two more highlights. What I do really like about this movie, yes, the ninja rap scene, Vanilla Ice singing, the turtles fighting to it. It's pretty fucking awesome. And then, you know, that part where they're looking for a new base, a new lair. And, you know, in the first movie, they were living in the sewers, right? And they got found out by the Foot Clan. So in this movie, they're looking for a new hideout, and they fall into that abandoned, like, train station. And they're going to live in, like, a train, whatever. I'm brain dead right now. I really, really like that part. I just remember loving that so much as a kid, too. Like, we found a base. You know, when you play games when you're younger, like tag or hide and seek or whatever, you make a base. This movie just makes you feel like a kid again. And... if anyone says this movie's not a good movie, I say they're full of shit. Because how can something that makes you feel like a kid again be a bad movie? here I am talking like Jack Nicholson again, and it's disturbing talking about kids' movies. If Jack Nicholson was in a kids' movie, what would it be? I'm just vamping, because Ben is away from the mic for just a little moment. So I wonder what he's gonna say. I want him to like come back while I'm talking about Jack Nicholson being in a kids' movie.
Always.
What would it be if Jack Nicholson was gonna be put into a kids' movie? What would it be?
Well, you'd have to think about it for a while. What kind of kids' movie would we put him in? Would it be like a Disney? Like a Disney film where he could be a terrifying villain?
No, he's not. That's the trick.
Oh, he's got to be a good guy. He's got to be good guy.
He's got to be a good guy, but be Jack Nicholson, which is terrifying.
Rapunzel, let down your hair.
Jesus Christ.
It'd be like that scene from The Shining when he thinks he's about to see some boobs. He has that smile on his face.
And Disney Rapunzel.
Yeah, like when she's laying down her hair, he like gets all smiley.
What if she's throwing down her hair and it's that shot of Jack Nicholson from The Shining where Danny has all the bruises on his arm and Shelley Duvall, Wendy, is like, you did this to him, didn't you? And he's just like looking so bewildered. He's like,
What if
hair falling on him?
What if he was the woodsman from Little Red Riding Hood with the axe?
This makes sense.
That's all we need.
You know, it doesn't make sense. We're talking about Jack Nicholson and kids' movies. We're trying to wrap up The Factory. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze. What are you doing?
Ah, indeed. What are we doing? Well, let's do a little bit of a factory here. So, as I said, the factory is going to be a little different this week. Not going to do like a recasting of the film. We're just going to do a little fun one where in this movie, he took a snapping turtle and a wolf. Shredder took a snapping turtle and a wolf and mutated them to be his big bads, his mutated animals that he was going to train to do karate. If you could choose two animals to fight for you, to mutate and turn them into ninjas, what would you choose? I have mine.
You know what? You got yours? I got mine, too. Let's, for me, I'm thinking of a fighting animal. I'm thinking of a kangaroo.
Oh, shit. Things that kick.
Yeah, kicking kangaroo with boxing gloves. And I call him Kanga.
The Conqueror.
And
Kang the Conqueror.
What?
Kang the Conqueror.
And then the second one's easy. A martial arts fighting animal. How about a panda? How about a kung fu panda?
Is it voiced by Jack Black? Is the motion capture done by Jack Black? Does he have a big bushy
CGI
beard?
No CGI, guy in a suit.
He mutates into Jack Black.
Holy shit.
First, you gotta go with the honey badger, because it doesn't give a fuck. It's gonna get in there and just go and go and go, till it can't go no more. And then I was thinking about it long and hard, and I was looking through our voodoo the other night, and I saw Planet of the Apes. You kind of got to go with, like, a chimpanzee. You mutate a chimpanzee so it's, like, even more agile and strong and ready to kick ass. Yeah, it'd literally be Planet of the Apes. Yeah, I know. I name it Caesar.
Holy shit.
I almost did two, like, like a chimp and like a spider monkey, like something crazy.
I thought you were going to say a spider. I'm like,
a gorilla.
No.
Thing's just even bigger. It's just fucking George from Rampage.
Rampage, yeah.
But
let's see what animals win. I'll flip for it. Heads, your guys. Tails, my guy.
Take it.
And it is tails.
Hey.
You got Kanga, Kanga and what's his name?
Kanga the Conqueror.
Kanga the Conqueror and Jack Black Panda.
That good. Indeed. Well, that about wraps it all up for the show here. If you liked what you heard, be sure to check us out over on Audioboom. That is our primary site. That's where we post the show to first, and then subsequently it gets shipped out everywhere else. So Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, wherever you get your show, or your podcast, rather. Hey, we're there. You can also find us over on Twitter. We are at the Bros Movie Pod. This will be posting links to the show, clips of the show, and memes that Gus makes, etc., etc. That's at the Bros Movie Pod. You can also find us over on Facebook.
Hey, if you're on Facebook, go ninja, go to the search bar and type in the Brothers Movie Factory. Hey, you'll find us if you do that. Click on us, like us, share what we post. I like to make memes of what we're watching each and every week, as well as post links to the things Ben mentioned a moment ago, like Audioboom, Spotify, Twitter, and that.
So that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it, but until next week, brothers...
Brothers.
Brothers.